Okay, let's get started with Psalm 2, verse 1, and then Psalm 119, verses 121 to 128. Psalm 2, verse 1 first. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Then Psalm 119, verses 121 to 128. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for my servant for good, for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Excuse me. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise thee today for the word of God. We thank thee for these two psalms, whose author is King David. We thank thee for his testimony. We thank thee for thy forgiveness. And we thank thee that we can look to thee the way David looked to thee. And we can have forgiveness and service to thee. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, Psalm 129, verse 126 says, it's time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. I can't cast aspersions to anyone. I can't denounce another's life. I can't denounce others till I remember 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. A wise man will take heed to that. And I want to be a wise man. But Psalm 119, verse 126 has been on my mind for a while now, at least as far back as 2008. I figure it's time for me to do something about it. As long as I remember that I am a man with clay feet, so I don't put myself up on a pedestal. Nevertheless, it's time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law, as David's cry goes up to the Lord Jehovah. They have despised thy law, they voided thy God's law, they profaned God's law. The people in David's day did that. The people in Christ's day did it too. Luke recorded it in Acts chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Acts 4, 25 to 26. Maybe I'll get it straight in a minute. Anyway, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Or vain things. The kings of the earth stood up. And the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And heathen ragers rage today. And the kings on the left, that is the governors and mayors, congressmen and senators, pundits and media people stand up to aid the ragers. Times haven't changed. Now, earlier I said that this raging goes back to 2008. But in truth, it goes back at least 50 years before that, as the ragers secured their position in the summer of 1968 in Chicago when the ragers joined the Democratic National Convention, the DNC. They or their proteges run the DNC today. But before that, in the early 50s, Joe McCarthy had his day with the House Un-American Activities Committee. McCarthy was highly criticized by the left in this country. My being hatched in 1949, I was not aware of it then, but when he did that, but I read about it later. Now, I don't condone all that McCarthy did, but for the most part, he was right. History proved him right. Russian communist archives proved him right. Now, hear this. I think that from the days of McCarthy, the left learned how and when to jump on the political bandwagon to rage against truth, to rage against God, to rage against God's law, to rage against man's law. They've had plenty of time to perfect their game plan. But what is worse is that the RNC stood by and let it happen. In my memory, that's been standard operating procedure for the Republican Party till the days of President Donald J. Trump, whom I believe the Almighty raised up to stand in the gap against the ragers on the left. President Trump is doing a good job. I pray that God will strengthen the steel that he put in that man's spine. I pray that President Trump will have great success in all his endeavors. I don't know that President Donald J. Trump is Christian. If he isn't, I pray that he soon will be. If he's not Christian. God, though, can use Trump like he used King Cyrus to deliver God's people from bondage back 2,500 years ago. But regarding Trump, I know that he and his wife are sympathetic to the cause of Christ. God bless that man and that administration. Understand something right here, though. Our hope is not in President Donald J. Trump. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, God Almighty. I believe that it was God who put Trump in office. By the way, I believe God put Barack Obama in office too, perhaps with the sole purpose of having Christians cry out to him for mercy. Well, we cried out, and God gave us Donald Trump. And know this, that God is sovereign, that God always works through his church, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Be careful, DNC ragers. True justice is coming, either in this life or in the next. It's coming, and it may include the right and the church of Jesus Christ. For God's blessings fall on the just and on the unjust, and his judgment falls on the just and on the unjust. I say all of this to say that what we're witnessing today has been going on since creation and the beginning of time. Now, understand this. Adam and Eve were not the first ragers. They knew they had rebelled against God. They didn't get angry, but I believe they were convicted of their sin right off the bat. They didn't rage at God. Under conviction, they hid from God and from themselves with their man-made coverings for their nakedness. When God came looking for them, they answered up. As they dialogued with God about their sin and their temptation, Adam and Eve did not rage against God. Cain did. And that's why God didn't forgive Cain. Cain was a proud man who wouldn't budge from his self-righteousness. He was jealous of Abel, and he wouldn't seek forgiveness. In other words, he didn't ask for mercy, so he didn't get mercy, but he got a mark on his formerly innocent cherub-like face as God put a roadmap of sin there so that everyone would see it. Cain was a rager, and everywhere he went, he raged. He set up his own laws and founded his own line. It was established in sin, and it remains in sin today, though there is forgiveness for those in that line who seek God. who truly seek God. Now, the first written record of raging was around 3,000 years ago when Old Testament King David wrote Psalm 2. It was there that David wrote, under the pen of inspiration, these words from Psalm 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, using the King James English, that's precisely what we would say about them today, for today's ragers have spurned God's law long ago. Now they spurn man's law, the Constitution, and the Declaration. On the left and from the top to the bottom, anarchists rage against God and man today. Let me say this to you on the political left. Your rage ends where my nose begins. You may take my life, but God will take me before that happens. In the meantime, I pray God will put a stop to heathen ragers. That's the only hope we have. It's not Donald Trump. It's not the RNC. And it's not the U.S. military. It is God putting a stop to the ragers with a great reformation, revival. That's what we need in this land. That will put a stop to the ragers. Our hope is in the Almighty. Whether he stops the raging or not, our hope remains in God. For, here's why, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And it's true today. Now, having said that, what about us? What about the church today? I've mentioned politics before, but never to the extent that I've done so today. Now, I don't apologize for doing that because I think it's necessary today. It's necessary because of all the lies spoken all over America today. You hear the lies coming from D.C., New York, L.A., Chi-Town, that's Chicago, Pittsburgh, and perhaps even in tiny little Apollo. I don't know about that. But looking back at the beginning of our text, Psalm 119, verse 121 and following, look what David wrote. He said, I have done judgment and justice. Lead me not to my oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, for the word of thy righteousness. King David wrote that. And we like to say of David that he was a man after God's own heart. And he was. Though that's true, he was also a man who did great sin. But the point is that David recognized his sin. He knew it, and he knew what he needed to do. He wanted to be right with God, so he went to God to get forgiveness. Then, as he was able to write what he did in Psalm 119, he looked to God and told God that no matter what he had done beforehand, that at this time he, David, was right with God, and that he had gone to God for forgiveness, that God in his great mercy and compassion had forgiven him. So David was truly able to say that he had done justice, that he was different from those who oppressed him, that he was different from those who had been raging at him and against God. He was different only in the sense that God was with him. Not because David was some great man, super holy man, but that God was with him. David went on to say that he served God and that he wanted good from God. David wanted God's deliverance and he wanted God's good in his own life. David didn't deserve good from God, but he asked for it, and he got it. I believe he got it anyway. Why? Why did he get forgiveness? Well, at that time, David was right with God, so God acted accordingly. Had God not forgiven him, what would that say about our forgiveness? Would it say that we couldn't? Wouldn't it say that we couldn't depend upon it? We don't deserve it any more than David did, but we asked for forgiveness, and we received forgiveness, and we can stand before God today as pure and as righteous as David did in that day. For our faith is like precious faith as David's faith. David was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was guilty of abominable sins. We often want to hold David up as an example to us, and we're right to do that, and I'm doing it right now. We can and we should do that because we're no better than David, which means that he was no worse than we. Oh, he had his redeeming traits. That man was an author, a poet, a singer, a leader, a warrior, a king, all anointed by God. We're none of those things. We'd like to be. What we are is that we are common, ordinary people who struggle from day to day against sin like David did. We are full of human failings like David was. And as true as that is, we can do mighty things for God like David did. We can run up against a big rager like Goliath. And we can do it with a handful of stones and get the victory like David did as long as God is with us. Now, we're saved, but if sin is in our lives today, is God with us today? And if sin is in our lives, what should we do today? One thing is that we can do what David did in Psalm 51. Listen to the words of Psalm 51, verses 1, 2, and 3. David wrote, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." I think I said Psalm 51, 1, 2, and 3, but it's Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. Let me give you the background for those verses. David sinned a great sin. But when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he, David, had gone into Bathsheba, Nathan's prophetic finger caused David to repent, to get right with God, to forsake his sin and seek forgiveness from God, and then David would serve God in righteousness. David was even willing to have God be just and right in his word and in his judgment. In other words, David would trust God's own nature for his divine work, for God's divine work in David's standing before God. Excuse me. Thus, David knew that God would act according to his own divine principles, and that God wouldn't go off in a rage and treat David apart from God's own holy nature. David trusted God. We need to do the same. We must not be afraid to let God have his way in our lives as we place ourselves in his hands. Then David wrote in verses 125 and 126 of Psalm 119, "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." Verse 126, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." And they have made void thy law. David knew that. He did. And he knew what God required of him. Moses had written the Pentateuch 400 to 500 years earlier. So David knew what God required. That's why he trusted God and God's law. David knew that God would do if he, David, continued in sin like the ragers continue in sin today. And David knew what God would do if he repented of his own sin. So David repented before God, the one before whom he had sinned. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51, verses 1 and 10. Forgiveness. David got forgiveness. So that he, David, could get on with his life, living it before his God. Then David wrote, and oh my, listen to this from Psalm 119, 127, and 128. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. And there it is in a nutshell, a picture of how David was a man after God's own heart. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. He said, God, I love you so much that I love your commandments. They're like gold, more precious than gold. Then David said, you're right, God. I'm wrong. I've always been wrong. But I want to be right, especially when I consider your precepts and your principles. In other words, I know what will happen to me if I'm right. And I know what will happen to me if I'm wrong. I want to be right with you, God. I don't want to be like Cain, who walked around with sin's roadmap on his face. And I don't want to be like that. And I don't want you to be like that. So let's pray. We are your children, Lord. And we want to live like it and look like it. We don't want to live and look like a child of the devil. You redeemed us with the highest price of which man can think. You bought us out of the slave market of sin. We don't want to go back into sin, Lord. We want to be with you. We want to serve you on the job, in school, in the nursing home, in the neighborhood. That's our job. And we want to do a good job. It's only our reasonable service. God, keep these people safe and healthy during this time. There's never been such a time as this. We have a vicious, deadly virus across the land. Perhaps we're through it. It appears that much anyway. But help us be careful, sensitive, and free from disease. Then, Lord, there are riots all across the land. It's happened before, but never with the state government aiding rioters like they do today. Lord God, we ask for a one-tier justice system in the land that will cover all the people in the land from the top to the bottom. Perhaps we need to reinstate the Constitution and the Declaration, regardless. We do need to reinstall and instate your law. Your law hasn't changed, O God, but we have. And it seems that we have allowed this to happen. Forgive us, O God. Have your people forsake their sin, seek your face, and cry out to you, hear, O Lord, and heal our land. We pray in Christ's name. Glorify your name in us. Amen.